up and joining us. Good morning. Hope you're having a great morning. Hope you're not freezing your butt off out there protesting ICE agents doing their duty that has been mandated by the American people. And if you're Jerome Powell over at the Federal Reserve, well, you're in a bit of a pickle. Seems like you're not supposed to put a lazy river and cabana setup on top of the Federal Reserve building, but your renovations have gone way over budget. Who knows why? Who knows why? I wonder what the salary for the Federal Reserve is. Oh, we don't get to see that, do we? Because they're not a government organization. They're a private run for profit company. Look, there he is. Look, you see, we have the imagery right there of Jerome Powell trying to enjoy his lazy river while he prints money out of thin air and loans it to the government at face value plus interest. So let's go to his statement. NBC News reports, and you know, you got to commend Jerome for saying, you know, no one is above the law, certainly not the Federal Reserve chairman. But we have ways to kill people who try to enforce the law is what he didn't. That was, I think, the second part of that sentence. But this unprecedented action would be seen in a broader context of the administration's threat and ongoing pressure. The latest wave for the administration to exert control over the Fed and its decision about interest rates. So it's the top on Drudge Report. Let's go to the Fed's statements in minute 35. Here it is.
Good evening. On Friday, the Department of Justice served the Federal Reserve with grand jury subpoenas, threatening a criminal indictment related to my testimony before the Senate Banking Committee last June.
Mm.
That testimony concerned, in part, a multi-year project to renovate historic Federal Reserve office buildings. I have deep respect for the rule of law and for accountability in our democracy. No one, certainly not the chair of the Federal Reserve, is above the law. But this unprecedented action should be seen in the broader context of the administration's threats and ongoing pressure. This new threat is not about my testimony last June or about the renovation of the Federal Reserve buildings. It is not about Congress's oversight role. The Fed, through testimony and other public disclosures, made every effort to keep Congress informed about the renovation project. Those are pretexts. The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public, rather than following the preferences of the president.
That's why your dollar has lost all its purchasing power since it became into being.
Based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation. I have served at the Federal Reserve under four administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike.
Way too long.
In every case, I have carried out my duties without political fear or favor, focused solely on our mandate of price stability and maximum employment. Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats. I will continue to do the job the Senate confirmed me to do, with integrity and a commitment to serving the American people. Thank you.
Yeah. Get out of here. All right. We're done with you globalist scum. Appoint Ron Paul as the Fed chair. You want to see people pull their hair out? You want to see the country literally go on fire? Appoint Ron Paul as the Fed chair and let him audit it. And we'll see some real action. This is Tim Burchett on fraud in the Pentagon as we go to break. Listen to this. This is a very interesting clip. It's from an interview from a longer documentary, but here it is.
You have a Pentagon that has billions of dollars that they hide. We don't ask for any accounting of. They never pass an audit in the history of audits. I've often said the only way we're really going to get to the bottom of this is somebody's going to walk out of one of these labs with this information and puts it out on the internet before they commit suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head five times.
Yeah. There you go. You don't want to uncover the fraud in the government. That's what happens. And, you know, the Federal Reserve isn't part of the government. That's the beautiful thing about it. Private, run-for-profit Federal Reserve. Running our country as only it can do best.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioperin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what
they
say?
We're in the second hour of The American Journal. There's my shot again of the great overpass that took many years to complete of I-35 and 71, also known as Ben White. And all the... I marvel at those giant overpass situations that they build, these giant, like, they don't need to be that tall, but it's like, no, we're going to make it 150 feet, okay? That's how we do it in Texas. You go to where they built the toll roads out there, and they have, you go up, and you're like, why are we so high? Why are we 200 feet in the air, it seems like? And you're like, wow, it's a great view. That's one thing. Maybe that's why they do it. All right, let's go to your calls. Let's go to Chad, Minnesota. Wants to talk about the ICE agents and Ilhan Omar. Go ahead, Chad.
Morning, Rob.
Morning.
Calling about Ilhan's visit to the St. Paul ICE or immigration detention facility over, I think it was Saturday, and the video that you played. And I found that rather interesting that Ilhan and her presence there and knowing the situation with her background, with the immigration marriage fraud potential.
Yeah, why didn't she get grabbed?
And the fact that she...
Let's bring you in.
Maybe she was turning
herself in. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I thought, well, I guess I look at it as one of two things. You know, maybe they don't have a case, and she knows this, or that subpoena that the House Republicans just moved to try to achieve to get for her to actually subpoena her records didn't come soon enough. So I thought that was rather interesting. I was like, too bad. I guess we lost out on another opportunity to nab a
She has been very quiet since the Somali fraud was uncovered. Like, this is the first time I think I've seen her out talking about anything. And yeah, maybe she did have some paperwork for him. She did have a blue binder.
And I noticed that they ramped up the security afterwards, too, which the group was... You know, it's interesting you watch that. Even Angie Craig then tells that group, would you move back? This is federal property. She tells the group that she came in with and disrespects the group as if, like, we don't need you anymore. Get out of here.
Right. You were here for us to march up to give us some numbers of support, which it mainly looks like a lot of media. It doesn't even look like a ton of protesters. So that's Angie Craig right there that we're showing. She was the one on the right with the blue jacket.
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing I've noticed with this, with all of this that's going on, I guess maybe to try to get people to understand Minneapolis, the city. It's like Hollywood, where if you speak up and you're on the right, Minnesota nice goes right out the door.
Right.
So, right. It's like Hollywood. You're not going to get anywhere. So in the Minneapolis council members are all, if you look at Ballotopia, you can find their organizations, just dig into it. And it's all of them have the same beliefs as the previous regime. And my concern. Yeah. Well, and LGBT, all that stuff. I mean, there's this numerous stuff. So you go into that and the big thing is that how is anybody going to infiltrate that as an actual candidate for any of those openings that, come up? Obviously, the mayor, Mayor Fry, his opening is now gone. And that's the other thing, too. He had a video that he did an interview over the weekend with MS Now or whatever it is. And he talks about, it's funny how he said, you don't need to take my word for it. You don't need to take their word for it. Just watch the video. And then he goes in and tells his story of what he saw at the scene. Yeah. So wait a minute, didn't you just tell us to watch the video?
No, watch it from his perspective is what he meant to say. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you know, hey, let me ask you this. Is there any, who owns the car with the dinosaur on it that was there at the scene of the shooting? So the dinosaur witnessed everything. And I think there's a shark there too. There it is. Yeah. So so is this part of the Hollywood you're talking about? These are special effects people, or what is the deal with this giant dino car? And there's the shark.
Yeah, that's the other aspect is that's Gotham City, right? You have the clowns from the Joker. You have, you know, the governor's, that's the governor's side. I mean, I used to actually live right in the city in Uptown, and it's just, again, you know, if you say anything, it's that Minnesota Nice does not exist. It's, you know, which is a joke anyway, I'll be honest. But, you know, you don't get anything. You're never going to get anything accomplished with this core in Minneapolis because there's just you cannot get in there and make a change to it. I dare anybody that's trying to run for office to try to get in there and see if you can get votes and clean that up.
Right.
Even with having Royce, I mean, Royce White is awesome. That's an awesome start. And I'm all for getting people up above as well. But, you know, as soon as if you can get the governor, but you have to get the mayor. The mayoral thing is
hold on.
A
we
huge
have,
part
we have
of that.
Video of Tim Walz riding in on a rubber ducky for his campaign event. I mean, this is crazy. Tim Walz is out of control.
I mean,
wow.
He is.
I mean, this guy, he does look uglier now, though. Now that we've exposed him, he's getting uglier and uglier. Ugh. I'm kidding,
well,
people. If you're watching this on TV, it's the penguin. Or as my friends from Russia called him, the penguins. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Chad. Let's go to Andrew in New Jersey. Wants to talk about Nick Shirley's Greenland video. Go ahead, Andrew.
Minnesota Nice. It is true if you compare it with New Jersey.
Welcome to Jersey. Now go home.
He's always reminds me of these, I guess is it Sesame Street, the Muppets? And the two old grouchy men that are on the balcony criticize. Like, I always think of that guy. But I wanted to talk about Greenland and also with Trump's, you know, thinking he's right geopolitically. But when Nick Shirley went to Greenland, he's amazing, Nick, but he didn't ask the questions properly about NATO and that somehow they're a NATO nation, even though they don't actually have a military. And I would have asked him that, like, well, you don't want to be part of America. Clearly, they didn't. And yet they want America to have to fight to defend them if Russia invades. So it's like, no way. I would do the opposite of try to buy Greenland. I would take our Air Force out and say, okay, you're on your own. If Russia invades, you have to fight. My wife from Thailand is a big ally with the United States. They have their own military. My relatives, my cousins in the Army, another's in the Marines, and people from our Marines, they go to Thailand and they do co-training. So if Thailand gets invaded, they're not just going to depend on America. And going back to the Vietnam War, the air bases were in Thailand. So they're actually putting themselves at risk, too. They're going to risk their lives to fight for Thailand. Where Greenland, no, we're not part of Denmark either. Well, Denmark is going to fight for you. You're not going to have any of your own soldiers. So I was just appalled, like, when I was hearing the man on the street sound. It's like, wait a minute. You think you're morally superior to America. You're not in wars. But, okay, now you guys defend yourself. So what I would do is the opposite. I would take our air base out, and I would try to reform NATO and say you have to actually have a military. But your thoughts on that, how unfair, because we hear about the fraud, which of course is unfair, but how unfair that is that Greenland is going to ask other countries to send their soldiers to die for them if Russia or someone else invades, yet they're not going to actually put up any army. They'll throw salmon. They'll throw, you know, like anchovies at the Russian soldier. But isn't that horrendous that they get to be part of NATO and they're independent from Greenland, but they don't actually have an army? How could that even be possible? Your thoughts on that? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of countries that are in NATO that are very small and don't do much other than, and they're in NATO for that blanket of support. But here's an article from the New York Times. Buy Greenland? Question mark. Take it? Question mark. Why? Question mark. An old pact already gives Trump a free hand. So we saw the article on Friday where it said Trump was drawing up military plans. But if you look at there's an actual agreement. I'm going to scroll down to this. Under a little-known Cold War agreement, the United States already enjoys sweeping military access to Greenland. Right now, the United States has one base in the very remote corner of the island, but the agreement allows it to, and this is, quote, construct, install, maintain, and operate military bases across Greenland. Not in one little corner, across. House personnel and control landings, takeoffs, anchorages, moorings, and movements, and operation of ships, aircraft, and waterborne craft. It was signed in 1951 by the United States and Denmark, which colonized Greenland more than 300 years ago and still controls some of its affairs. So Denmark doesn't have as much control as they think. We already have a treaty signed. And a lot of people don't know this. Nick Shirley probably didn't even know this. And that's the thing. You know, these young guys go out there and they get the hits because they're young people are watching their videos and they get some money. So they're able to go out and do these things. They don't quite have all the gravitas and acumen necessary. But then you team up Nick Shirley with an old boomer like Dave, and I don't mean to call him old, but you know, Dave is a boomer. And then Dave goes, hey, look, I've been investigating this for 7 years. Let me take you to all the places. And they've got a video dropping today, apparently, which is 10 times worse than the video they dropped last time. And he's showing, in my 7 years, I've looked at some of these daycares. There's no kids in them. Of the 100 that I've looked at, 80 something are operated by Somalis and none of them have kids. So yeah, while Nick Shirley goes into some of these places and he doesn't really know, but he's giving people like kind of a candid everyman's look of how the people feel. And he may not know the greatest questions to ask and he may not know any questions to ask. He may just say, what do you think? But at least he's getting something out and he's giving that perspective on the ground, which is amazing that, you know, the news media should be out doing that, but they're so caught up in hating Trump. They don't even want to go to Greenland and show that, you know, but the New York Times is reporting, hey, we've got a treaty signed in 1951 that we can go in there. But no, nobody wants to say that. They just want to say Trump's going to invade Greenland. There is no invasion that's going to take place. It's already there that we can go in there and build whatever we want. So when he says invasion, that's just to troll the media because they're going to go crazy. Trump knows that it's already on the books, that we can go in there and do whatever we want and control the space around it. It's there. All we have to do is go in and do it. Is that a great use of resources? I don't know. He's obviously doing it for a perceived war with China and a China-Russia alliance, which if you go up to the Arctic Circle, Russia's not very far away. You know, when they fly to Russia, here's a little, I forget the name of the book. It's Major Jordan's Diaries, I think. We were flying heavy water from Montana over the Arctic Circle into Russia in the 1950s to give them the components they needed to make the bomb. Why? Because we wanted a Cold War. Maybe they thought if we have a Cold War, we won't have a hot war. And so if we have two giant superpowers on either side of the globe building up armies and controlling their area of influence, you know, we would be safer. Maybe that's what they thought. I don't know. That's what happened, though. We gave the USSR the components to build the bomb. So then when they dropped their bomb, you know, several, I think 6 or 7 years after we dropped ours, it was like, oh, well, now we have mutually assured destruction. So, and in essence, that did create an era of peace. But did it really? No, it kind of gave rise to China. So So thanks for your call. Let's go to Timothy in Washington. By the way, 877-789-2539. We're taking calls all the way through. I've got about, I don't know, five callers, six callers left. But let's go to Timothy in Washington. Let's talk about the PSYOPs. Go ahead, Timothy.
What's up, Rob? How you doing, brother?
Are you a trucker? You sound like you're driving.
No, man. No, I am driving, going to work.
Okay.
But I got a few questions, but it popped in my head a few weeks back that I would join ICE. Okay, I'm not a big fan of the federal government right now because we're getting rugged left and right. But if Trump wanted me to join ICE, he simply has to indict Fauci. So if ICE recruitment is down, Trump could literally just market it. So I'll indict Fauci if you join ICE. And if I would do it, I would literally join ICE tomorrow if Trump was to indict Fauci.
You know, it'd be interesting to see him set up what's going on now is kind of like a game show, you know. Sort of like the home version of Running Man. You know, we'll do this if we indict this. I would love to see some of these people indicted, wouldn't you? You think it's a little time that we, some people get indicted? What, one? Can we get one?
I don't think it's going to happen, honestly. Mm. But, I mean, we could fantasize about it as best we can, because that's the only real reason why we kind of voted, just because we just got so sick of it, and this was our only option.
Yeah.
But with the PSYOPs, Rob, I'm kind of curious, because, like, a lot of the people just popped out of the woodwork, right? A lot of young voices, and yada, yada, yada. But, like, with Nick Shirley, he's out of Latter-day Saints. He's out of the Church of Latter-day Saints. And what we've noticed is that there's a lot of people that just decided to appear one day, and they're coming from nefarious, you know, rhino think tanks and stuff like that. And so it's kind of frustrating when we see the truth movement become this narrative factory. You know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. I've called in to Brianne a couple times about this, because it's very frustrating to see the truth movement become a narrative factory. What do you think?
Well, in some ways it does do that. And, you know, yeah, Nick Shirley going through his, you know, I never knew what to make of the guy in the beginning, but it seems like when he got teamed up with somebody who knew what was going on, the message got out. And I think it got a little bit bigger than they thought it was going to be. Like that video, that first video that they put out got like, you know, 10 million views in a couple days. And so I don't think that's necessarily what they wanted. I don't think that they wanted people to know that all this money going to these daycares is just basically being siphoned off to other campaigns, because that's what's happening. And I saw a clip of General Flynn. He was actually investigating into these things in Louisiana. And he saw that the same type of operations are going on in Louisiana, and they're funding Senator or Representative Johnson's campaign, the Speaker of the House. So it works both ways. It's on both sides. That's why nothing's ever been done about it. This was like a little secret. Hey, we get to give money to these daycares for childcare, and they're just funneling money back into our campaigns, and that's how it works. So you weren't going to see either side talk about it. So I think that there was a punch through the narrative. But on a lot of other issues, I think a lot of these young guys that are promoted and gals that are promoted by the system are doing it to either muddy the waters or just keep everything in rage bait area, a rage bait territory. So people are just shouting at each other instead of looking at the real issues. So thanks for your call. Yeah, you know, everything's a PSYOP. Hell, I got PSYOPed over the weekend with a George Carlin clip. So it can happen. Let's go to, got about 5 minutes left. Let's go to Tim in California. I don't know if he's saying there's a vax against fentanyl or we need a vax against fentanyl. Go ahead, Tim.
It's they're creating a vaccine that everyone will have to take. The first time I heard about this was like 3 weeks ago. I called it into Brianna. Mm-hmm. Their website specifically brags right on the front page. Yeah, this is backed by the Department of War. This is next generation biodefense.
Yeah.
And their first.
Well,
their
hold
first
on. Give us the website so we can pull it up real quick.
ARMR Sciences.
ARMR Sciences. All right. ARMRSciences.com. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I'm reminded that just before Trump took office this second time, about a year ago, there was 11 bus-sized drones flying over New Jersey, very low, and some of them at night in, you know, semicircular patterns, spraying something. I'm thinking, maybe that's what's next, is they're going to be spraying us with stuff And the only way you can guard against it is you'll have to be vaccinated. And by the way, it only lasts about a year. So you'll need a booster, too.
Ugh.
So this is like one of those boy cried wolf things. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. But you kind of already messed up the punch at the party, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. You've already killed a lot of people with your mRNA vaccine. So anything else that has the words mRNA in it, I think most people are going to say no thank you. But you still have people going out getting those vaccines. You still have them. So it hasn't killed everybody yet.
I know you're short on time. As a parting shot, unless you live in L.A., you might not have seen this yet. Yesterday afternoon, there was an anti-Iranian regime rally in Los Angeles in front of the federal building, the Westwood neighborhood federal building there on Wilshire, Wilshire federal building. And a U-Haul drove into a crowd of people, and you know, a couple of them got hurt or whatever, and they took the guy into custody and so forth. But what was significant is that he had banners on the truck that said, "No Shah, no regime, USA. Don't repeat 1953. No Mullah," this sort of thing.
I saw that.
Demonstration.
Yeah, okay. and then I saw the police said nobody got hurt. Afterwards,
well,
but you can look at the video. It looks like if anybody was standing near that U-Haul, they would have gotten hurt. So this was a current Iranian regime U-Haul.
Right.
And I can think maybe we can say this wasn't a Fed operation because they use Ryder trucks. They seem to have a contract with Ryder, not with U-Haul. So it could be a. There's a lot of different groups, and I think Greg Reese interviewed a guy who could have been the leader of Iran at one point. I forget the guy's name. This was years ago. But he was...
Party shot.
Yes.
I got a party shot. For Clown Car, he was worried about time. Just remember, in April, Donald Trump, President of the United States, said he has a secret weapon that can manipulate time and space. Uh-oh.
That's true. And maybe that's happening. Maybe they used it on New Year's Eve. As a parting shot in before handing it over to Mondami. So who knows? Thanks for calling, Tim. Lots of interesting points. All right, Bregan, we're going to you. You're in Wisconsin. Wants to talk about my time working here. This isn't about me, but go ahead. Ask your question.
Hey, Rob. I was just wondering about before I get to the point of what you've been through and how many years you've been there. I wanted to give a shout out to the Rod and Gibson community because they really, when I lose signal through InfoWars or Rumble or whatever, I can still get through with Ron Gibson.
And let me just say, Ron Gibson has the greatest yearbook shot of all time. If you go to Ron Gibson's channel, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like the first guy from MySpace or whatever. So, anyway, what have you been through over the years? Because I've been calling in for 22 years now, and I was wondering what have been some of the most prolific experiences that you feel like talking about working as.
Wow.
The right-hand man, because you're there year in, year out. You've got as much gray as I do. And I was just curious, is anything you wanted to share with the community of InfoWars, Free Speech Systems, and you folks actually asked me to work for you, and I can't handle the excess.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to answer that after the break. I got to think about it because there's been a lot. I've been here since 2009, February 9th. So after the break, I will share people some of my greatest memories, I guess, and some of my worst memories. It's been a lot.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of thermoregulation issues, morning severe chills and cold in the morning.
Hmm.
All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine. and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time, mm-hmm. with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Due. Watch live right now at band.video.
So Bregan asked the question, and I'm not going to make this about me for too much here, but we'll go over. I wrote a list of things that I guess you can't see that's blown out, but from here you can. Can't read my writing though; it's written in code hand, which is my very messy handwriting style. But so let's see. Let's go back. I was hired February 9th, 2009. I had left a place that was we were selling jewelry over TV. It was sort of like Home Shopping Network, but it was a twist. We did falling auctions. So we'd have 10 iPhones, and we put them up for $500, and then we dropped the price to $150. And people see the price drop, so they buy them. And I did that for a while. One thing there, it taught me about the breaking news aspect of news and how important breaking news is. We were one hour, every hour you'd sell something different. So 1 hour we were just selling emeralds, and we were at this guy named Dan Dennis. And at the end of that hour, we saw a news story that said the Tanzanite mine had flooded, and we were selling a lot of Tanzanite. And actually, Tanzanite was the next hour scheduled. And we handed him the story, and the only mine where they get Tanzanite had flooded. And he literally reads it, that it flooded, 9 people died, they didn't know when operations were going to continue. And he literally looks up and he goes, folks, this changes everything. Coming up next hour, nothing but Tanzanite. And we were already selling it, but we actually had him pull bigger gemstones out. And people were buying these before we could even drop the price. So we'd have the initial price, and then we'd drop it, and then we'd drop it again. And so I was giving people great deals, but they were already buying, so we didn't have to go as low as we could have gone. And we sold a lot of Tanzanite, but that showed me the power of breaking news. And we weren't forcing people to buy this stuff. They were buying it because they thought, well, there might be a run on Tanzanite, sort of like, you know, what you see with Bitcoin or silver now, even, you know, people are buying silver thinking it's going to go up. There it is. For 2008, April 1st, 2008, 16 dead, 49 missing and flooded mine. See? Even from I said 9, it was 16. So then I got hired by InfoWars, because I'd been listening to Alex Jones for a while. And one of the first videos I shot was like interviewing the director of Obama Deception. And I printed out some posters that we had of the Obama Deception and put them on the wall to make it look like one of these promo type things. And then I set up some lights and everything. This is like the first thing. I'd been there, I don't know, like maybe 4 or 5 days. And Alex was like, hey, I want to shoot a interview of the director and you're going to interview me. And I was off camera, but we had it set where Alex wasn't looking straight at the camera like he normally does, like this. He was kind of off to the side, you know, sort of like this shot. And he's looking and answering questions about the Obama Deception. And so we shot several promo type videos that we used to market, which I think was his biggest film. But Endgame is sort of kind of taken over that because of its evergreenness. Then later that year, I got arrested at the G20, September 29th. The reason that date is stuck in my mind is because it's also the date one of my good friends died. I was in a band with her. She was one of our singers. I had known her for many years, and she died of cancer that same day that I got arrested. She died about 5 in the morning that day, and I got arrested later that night. Ended up getting a settlement from the city of Pittsburgh. Funny enough, my lawyer was Stuart Rhodes. We sued him in 2011, and Stuart was my attorney. And then I just wrote some other things. One time, Alex and I went to Jesse Ventura's birthday. There, Alex Jones Show reporter is furious over G20 arrest. Yeah, so we sued him in 2011, and then it all kind of came to an end later. Jesse Ventura, I forget, I think it might have been his 70th birthday. And there was another actor there, Harry Dean Stanton. It was his 90th birthday. So we were there, and I mean, people, there was all kind of people there. But at some point, I'm sitting down at a table, and I look over, and there's this young lady, and sitting next to her is Ron Jeremy, who's like half awake. I mean, just weird stuff. Meeting Russell Means, going up to the reservation up there. I forget the name of the reservation. It's in South Dakota, but it's right near Wounded Knee. Went up there, interviewed him for about 3 hours. Then we drove out to Wounded Knee, and he talked about the massacre that happened where this is an anti-gun control argument, because they brought all the Indians into this valley, took all their guns, and then they said, oh, one of them fired a gun. So then the troops were all up with, they called them Hotchkiss guns, which were like kind of like 50 cals that you, I think, cranked. And so they just basically shot these people to pieces. There's actual video from that. And his message there was, we're all living on the reservation. Like, at first it was the Indians, but now we're all there. We're all being controlled. We're all being given things for free. And when you're given things for free, you're under control of the government. Very powerful message there. It was 7 degrees when we were there in the morning, and our camera batteries kept running out. But that was pretty powerful. There's a two-hour documentary out there that we put together called Welcome to the Reservation. And let's go, you know, we could jump to the first Trump inauguration. Was pretty crazy watching how the leftists were allowed to block access to people, just, you know, and be uncivil and attack people. And the police there were simply allowing it to happen. They're just like, yeah, it's fine. You know, you get to block the entrance into the inauguration. So then they could show these videos and pictures of, oh, Trump had no one at his inauguration. No one was there voting for him. When actually it was a huge reformation against what Hillary Clinton was trying to pull over going from Obama to there. And then in 2020, you know, the People's Freedom March in the first, I think it was the week after the stolen election of 2020, we all went up there and were in Freedom Plaza and marching to the Capitol. See, there were two people's marches there. I don't know if they were called people's march, but freedom marches, anti-stolen election marches, one in November, one in December. And then in January, well, they had figured out that, oh, we figured out a way to get these people. And so they got us on the third one, which was creating the J6 insurrection in that narrative. But during the pandemic, you know, we had our I Can't Breathe protests, you know, because they were saying that with George Floyd. So we went and had our own because, you know, Austin was kind of different from the rest of the country, of the rest of Texas, where they were trying to do this lockdown. And we had videos that I think Owen Schroyer and Rob Agueros went out and were riding scooters late at night. We broke into the Barton Springs pool. Oh, you can't go to this pool of water where you should be out in the sunshine, killing the virus. So they tried to close down the pools. We broke it open and went in there for a bit and just went out and showed that, you know, you don't have to be locked down. And then we were also warning people about the vaccine. I actually put out in January 2020, I put out a report. I'm standing in front of the Capitol. I'm over by the Washington Monument, and I'm reading, and this is, they're still calling it the coronavirus. And I'm telling people about it and say, you know, this is the type of thing that they're going to kind of create a vaccine for. And be aware of this, because when they create these vaccines, well, it could have something like, you know, SV40 virus in it. And I play a clip of a doctor, Maurice Hinneman, talking about how he found the SV40 virus in the polio vaccine, and he was warning Salk about it. And they're like, oh, we're testing it on the Russians. Let's see how many tumors they get. And turns out the SV40 virus does cause cancer. And wow, I didn't know this at the time, but it turns out the SV40 virus was found in the coronavirus vaccine. And we know that from Patrick McKernan, who was working on the Human Genome Project, was testing unopened vials of the vaccine and finding the SV40 virus, which comes from green monkey kidney cells. So kind of fortuitous that I was telling people about that in January of 2020. Okay, I think January 20th of 2020. I don't know if it's on Bandout Video somewhere, but I think it's in the special reports section. I didn't even have a channel on Bandout Video back then. I was just putting stuff up on special reports. But some notable interviews, that some long-form interviews that we did. Rosalind Peterson talking about the chemtrails, although she didn't say chemtrails. She says persistent atmospheric contrails is what she uses. That is even before that. See, that's 2025. There's a video of me in 2020 talking about the SV40 virus being put in vaccines. It turns out it was in the coronavirus vaccine as well. Sherry Tenpenny, she was really instrumental in giving me the courage and information not to get my children vaccinated. Big influence on my life, Sherry Tenpenny. Russell Blaylock, former neurosurgeon, talking about the effects of fluoride and other things in your body. Webster Tarpley, we don't really have him on much anymore, but he was an interesting, definitely a character, if there was one out there in the universe of InfoWars. Webster Tarpley, anti-Obama, anti-Bush, also anti-Trump. And, you know, he probably has his reasons, but he's also, you know, he seems to be like he's a communist. John Perkins, another interesting interview that we put on. He was the author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, wrote that. And lives in Florida, went over, had a great interview with him. Interestingly enough, there's a guy that doesn't work here anymore who left under weird circumstances, under his own volition. I forget if he quit or got fired. He might have got fired, but we both were shooting video of John Perkins, and he had a nice wide shot, but it was also shooting out the window. And for some reason, he left his camera on autofocus. And I had a close-up shot, like a shot here of John's face. And we're looking at this footage that the other person had shot, and it was all blurry. Perkins was blurry, but out the window, the boat in the canal, it was perfectly in focus. And Alex goes, well, let's look at Dew's footage. And my footage was good and saved the whole interview. And that kind of, after that interview, it became, well, Rob Dew's going out on all the interview shots. So basically every long form interview we did after that, I was like one of the guys to go out with that. This is just a funny little tidbit that came to mind as I was writing this. We're at CPAC and we're shooting, I'm just following Alex around shooting footage. I think he had just interviewed Bolsonaro's son. And as he's going up the escalator, someone says, thank you for defending Nick Fuentes. And Alex said, yeah, no problem. And he turns to the camera as he's going up the escalator and goes, I identify as a groiper. And it's just the funniest thing. I think it just shows Alex's immense comedic timing, among other things. And then, all you know, just hiring people throughout the years, all the different people that have worked here. You've all had a part in InfoWars. Whether you're happy about that or not at this point is up to you, but you've definitely had a part in InfoWars being one of the premier independent news media organizations in the world. And so with all your help there, Bregan, that's my short list of things that I could just think of during the break. What did you think of that?
Rob, I forgot about all some of those, but the Russell Means welcome. Everyone should go to fan.video and watch Welcome to the Reservation. And also Charlotte Iserby.
Forgot about Charlotte Iserby. That was another great. We interviewed her twice. I think I only went up the first time. I don't remember if I went up the second time or not, but the first time meeting her, we were cooking eggs in her kitchen, smoking cigars in between shoots. You know, she was a cool lady. She was really cool. Met her son, who was really cool, learning about her life. Yeah, there's the opening shots there. We shot that. It was kind of rainy and drizzly outside. And it's interesting. She lived in a part of Dresden, Maine, and on the river. And there was an island on that river, and she said that's where they planned some of the American Revolution. They would meet up on some of the on the land there and that little island. And you can imagine back then, you know, you had to get a rowboat and paddle over there, and there wasn't social media or signal to communicate with. You had to really know your stuff and get information out. So the stuff our forefathers went through to make this country is nothing. You know, we have nothing to complain about. We have it easy, especially now with AI. The guys are making images of Jerome Powell sitting on top of the Federal Reserve, you know, in a lazy river. So, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Now you're only limited by your imagination. But I'll give you the last word, Bregan, and then move on.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Your crew is freaking amazing because the ability for them to pull up video on the spot, Johnny on the spot. And I filmed for you folks at Bilderberg 2012.
Okay.
I just want to thank you for your dedication and everyone who's stuck through the thick and thin.
Yeah, I wasn't at Bilderberg 2012, but I did go to 2015 and 2016 in Austria and then in Dresden, Germany. And those were huge. Lauren Southern was still active back then. She was part of that. Luke Radowski has been to all these. Charlie, I forget his last name. It escapes me, but he's a Guardian writer who's there, who always makes the shirts that said, I went to Bilderberg or whatever year, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt or this lousy New World Order, I think is what it said. I bought one in 2016 because I missed out. But, you know, the cops at that point were coming after us because we were filming the police. They searched our car. They let us go through the checkpoint. Then they pulled us over and were like going through all our belongings. So I started filming them. And we put that up on YouTube. And they didn't like that. So they were coming to where they thought I was staying in the hotel. See if y'all can find the guys, the Guardian writer who writes for, I forget his last name, but I want to give him a shout out. He's a good fellow, and he's a guy Alex Jones woke up about the New World Order because he used to write comedy pieces about Bilderberg, and then he went there and got harassed. Well, he got harassed at that one as well. They broke into his apartment room at midnight that night. They were looking for me, I think, but I was down in a little cabin off to the side of the main hotel. I'd say it's a hotel, probably had 20 rooms in it. But I got a call from the owner of the hotel, said, hey, the police are looking for you. And I called Alex. I said, hey, man, the police are looking for me. What do I do? He goes, we're going live. Drive to the police station. And literally, we're waiting for the break to end. I go in there during the show, streaming live. This is 2015. And it's funny. All the cops are out front. They're like, hey, you can't film here. I'm like, it's Charlie Skelton. I said, we're not filming. We're streaming. and we're going live, and the larger, it's interesting, there's definitely a caste system, whether they admit it or not, in Austria, because there's a lot of very small people there, which I guess can't afford a lot of meat. And then when the big sergeant came out, he was tall. He was like 6 feet, at least as tall as me. And he came out and he said, are you staying at this hotel? And I said, yes. He said, no more filming the police. And I said, all right, well, no more searching our belongings. And you know who we are. You have our pictures on the wall. You know we're not here to cause harm to anybody. We're here just to document, you know, elites meeting at a giant pyramid hotel in the middle of nowhere with a, you know, mile and a half cordon zone off of it. And we actually had to hike up another mountain and shoot video of the hotel. And we met a guy, Infokrieg, which means InfoWars in Germany. He had his telescope set up, and he allowed us to hook our cameras up to it and shoot in. You could get some really amazing footage. There's Charlie Skelton in the UK at the time. You know, he's old and gray, and even back then, he's older and grayer now, but he goes to every Bilderberg. It's like a pilgrimage for him going out there. We haven't, I think, done as much because we've kind of exposed, you know, Alex's whole thing about Bilderberg was they're saying this thing doesn't exist. Here's this meeting. Here's these people. Here's all these elites going into it. We want to expose it. And then, you know, several years after that, they started publishing a list of who attended. They started publishing not quite everything they were talking about, but they put out a press release on where it's going to be, which they had not done before that. It was always secret. So Alex feels he had, you know, kind of done his job because people were like, why aren't you showing up at Bilderberg? Well, that's why, because we kind of done our job there. So thanks for the call, Bregan. Let's get another call in. Let's go to Alex in Northern Virginia. He's been holding for a while. Let's talk about it. He got into a shouting match at a protest at a Tesla dealership. Was this during the Tesla protests that were going on?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Duke.
Good morning.
Driving through Northern Virginia. It was off of, whoever's listening, if y'all know Northern Virginia, 395, off of Glebe Road. So there's a Tesla dealership over there. And from time to time, you'll catch these clowns out there, but there's not really many. It's like 3, 5, 7 at most. Except for Saturday. Saturday, there was a good 20, 30 people out on each side of the street. And I tagged you. I recorded the video while I was driving. And I hate recording while I'm driving, but I had to do it. And I tagged you on X for the video, and I tagged InfoWars on it. Basically called them a bunch of communists, and they started cheering, and I was saying that they're not American and not America first, and they were cheering. I'm like, you people are idiots. What's wrong with these morons? And I just kept on going. I was going to go for a second round, but nah, forget it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They start protesting the Tesla dealership as soon as Elon Musk has dinner with Trump again, and he kind of said, you know, he basically said he regretted doing the Doge thing. One, because I don't think he saw the administration take his findings and do anything with them, which they haven't done yet, and that's true. And two, he got all this negative press. His stock price dropped. People were, you know, burning his cars. Things that he made, whether you agree with the electric car or not, it's his, you know, kind of dream that he brought. He took it to the next level. He didn't actually invent the Tesla. He kind of took over the company and made it bigger. But, you know, they were destroying the dealerships, harassing the people. And that's not why he built the company. He didn't build the company as a vehicle for protests. He built the company because he believes in electric cars. And, you know, while we're not quite there on the batteries, there is some battery technology on the horizon that could make these things, you know, travel 1,000 miles under a charge and then charge in under an hour, which they can't do right now. You get about 300 miles off of them, maybe 400 if you have the big batteries on the Tesla truck. So, yeah. Well, thanks for going out there and speaking the truth to these people. They are a bunch of communists because they don't want to see things get built by corporations. They want to see things built by the government. They're all happy when the government's doing something. Unless, well, you know, notice, though, if the GOP gets into power, they're automatically fascist no matter what. But, you know, we got bumbling Biden in there who can't put a sentence together. And, well, that's okay. We don't see that. You know, we're fine with that. So there it is. Thanks for the call, Alex. Let's go to who's next. Mark in Texas. We funded Mal, so who are we serving? Well, the Rockefellers did fund Mal. But go ahead, Mark. What's your point?
Well, that's the whole point. So who went to China?
Nixon did.
Yeah, he did. And why did he do it?
To open up trade routes with China.
That's right. So yeah. That Congress could go invest in there, basically, and pull their money out of there while we sent it to them. By the way, where do we get our paper for our Federal Reserve notes?
I'm sure we get it from China. They probably grow
Communist
a lot of things.
China. Yeah. So the point is that...
when we have all the space to do it here, but we just don't. Yeah, you're right.
Well, yeah, and that's my point. So the problem with all this stuff is that we know them by their fruits. And we've met the enemy, and they is we, according to Pogo, if you ever read that. But my point is that the fruits of what are going on right now is the thing we're all basically commiserating and whining about, and that is no justice or righteousness is getting done. Correct?
Correct. I'm with you.
Yeah. So my last question is then, for all the monumental impact of stuff that you've experienced over the years, what about your... brother-in-law in the Boston bombing?
Oh, you know, somebody asked me about that. So when I they asked me about that on camera a couple years later, but it was at some place. They stuck a phone in my face and asked me about it. But my brother-in-law, he was I went in when the Boston bombing happened. There was a lot going on, and I got a call from my wife saying that my brother-in-law was running in the Boston bombing, meaning he was an actual runner for the Army in the Boston Marathon, not the bombing itself, but he was running it. He was running in it. So but he did get pulled out for dehydration before he got to the finish line. And, you know, was he dehydrated? I don't know. But somebody did pull him out of the race before it ended. That's interesting, isn't it? But that's all the information I have. But I hope that answered your question, Mark. Thanks for calling.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, there's a lot of, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there, you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it, just pay attention. One is learn history, understand history, understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.